This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and really happy now to be talking with Nicole Bloor, co-founder of Save Newbury Wildlife in, oddly enough, Newbury. Nicole, welcome to MSO.
Thank you. Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, I came across an article in the Newburyport Daily News recently about a program that was referring to Save Newbury Wildlife, and it's fascinating to me because we have had this year an infestation of field mice in our home, and we couldn't get rid of them, and so we got an exterminator and took care of the mouse problem. But one morning out on my back patio was a perfectly robust-looking squirrel dead, and it led me to think that maybe that squirrel had somehow eaten a mouse that had the poison, and I buried the squirrel as deeply as I could because I was afraid, you know, carrion birds might get it. But tell me a little bit about what your program is and how you got started and that kind of thing.
So Save Newbury Wildlife is an organization that's dedicated to restricting the use of what we call second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides. I know that's a mouthful. These are poisons designed to control the rat and mouse population. They're second generation because the first generation rat poisons, the rats and mice became resistant to them in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
So they came up with these second generation poisons. And there's also some evidence now that they're becoming resistant to the second generation, of course. Natural evolution, rats and mice breed very quickly, so you can imagine that they can develop resistance pretty quickly genetically. So these poisons are very potent, and the challenge is the unintended side effect of using them. And I am not about, I understand that people need to control rat and mouse infestations. I do. And we need to help people figure out how to do that without using these potent poisons. For those of us who are old enough to remember, way back when in the 70s, the big mantra was the solution to pollution is dilution. I don't know if you remember that, Rick.
No.
The thing that they used to say, I don't know if it was Dow Chemical, I don't remember who said it, but said that. And unfortunately, the problem is biologic systems. So you and me, animals, we don't dilute poison when we intake it. We concentrate it. We don't know what to do with it half the time. So mercury is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Fish will ingest mercury, and they just store it in their tissue. They can't get rid of it. There's nothing they can do. So the bigger fish just keep getting more and more mercury in their system. And unfortunately, the same thing happens with these blood thinners, these anticoagulant rodenticides. So if a mouse eats the bait, which they're very commonly used, you can see them everywhere, these bait boxes that are outside buildings, especially restaurants, but everywhere, they're these black boxes. The mouse goes in, eats the bait, they leave, and within 3 days to 2 weeks, they die. It may take only one dose, but it takes some time for them to die, which is somewhat of a good thing if it's inside your house, because you don't want them to die in your house, right? You want them to leave your house and go find water, because what happens is they start bleeding and they get thirsty. They go look for water. Unfortunately, they're easy prey for every raptor, every owl, every eagle, every fox, every coyote, every cat out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it may be that one mouse with these poisons inside their system is not a problem for an owl or an eagle, but unfortunately, they eat many mice and rodents all day long. You know, an owl family can eat like 1,500 rodents a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large number. And unfortunately, what we found is, so for example, the veterinary clinic at Tufts University in Massachusetts found that 100% of hawks have these blood thinners in their tissues. 100% now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about 5 years ago it was about 80%, 70%, and now we're up to 100%. So it's clear, and they'll have multiple different types of poisons, not just one.
Mm.
So they're very much being exposed, and although it may not kill them right away, it builds up over time. And the raptors in particular will have difficulty flying, and that may be why they ended up at the Tufts clinic, is because maybe they, fell into a car because they weren't flying properly. There were some very public deaths of eagles in Arlington. And so a few years ago, Save Arlington Wildlife was started by Laura Kiesel, and she managed to get a policy passed in her town last year and in 2022 to ban the use of these very potent poisons on public land. Now, the law in Massachusetts, as in many states, is the town cannot regulate what you do on private property with pesticides and rodenticides are in that category.
Mm-hmm.
The state is the only one that can regulate that. So what they did was they passed a referendum asking for a waiver from the state. Can Marlington, you know, control its own pesticides on its land? And so in that vein, that's what we're trying to do as well here in Newbury. We've been very fortunate. We've already had some success. We presented to the select board our concerns about the use of these poisons and their effect on non-target wildlife. What we really want is for the town to help our residents and businesses manage them without using these poisons. You know, what else can we do? And then ideally we'd like to move forward and work on the state doing the same thing. We were fortunate the Newbury Select Board agreed to go ahead and ban these poisons on public lands. Now, Newbury doesn't have a lot of public lands, but I think it's raising awareness. I mean, we're going to make people aware that these poisons are real. I assure you, I never really thought about it. I'm a retired physician. I certainly know that pesticides and poisons in general are not good for anyone to ingest. And I was very much aware of pesticides. I used to be a beekeeper, and I'm very much aware of how bad, you know, aerial spraying for mosquitoes is, so on, for bees, and just using pesticides on your flowers. But it wasn't until recently that we kind of came to the idea of rodenticides being such a terrible effect on our foxes and our coyotes and our raptors. And it was my neighbors who actually started the ball rolling. Kathy Downey and Carolyn Casey, they were walking around the Newbury Public Library and noticed the rodenticide boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Said to themselves, what are these? And so they found out, you know, they called, they read a letter to the Board of Health, what are in these boxes, and, you know, what are they for? And so that's how we got the ball rolling, talking to the Board of Health, talking to the Select Board, and we're hoping to make it raise awareness. If we can just get a few people to stop using these poisons, I think it could go a long way to helping our wildlife.
I think one thing that people have become aware of is if they end up getting a pet themselves, if you get a cat or a dog, you become acutely aware of what these poisons can do. I didn't know they were called the second generation, the SJGAR. But you become aware, you know, that okay, your own personal little cuddly animal could get hurt by this. And so there is an awareness of this. And I know on your website, you have some great ideas on how to better deal with this thing. And I just wondered that for us, we love going out in the morning and having coffee on the patio. And just about every weather, we've got a little heater out there, you know, a gas-fed stove. And we love looking at the birds. I love, you know, the woodpeckers and all these other birds. But almost universally, the recommendation is to do away with these bird feeders. Is that correct?
Yes. If you have trouble with mice or rats inside your house or around your home, yes, bird feeders have got to go. You can exclude them. By that, I mean you can actually build exclusion around the bird feeder if you really wanted to keep it. You could also have bird feeders that don't have a lot of waste on the ground. You could sweep
right
up the bird seed at the end of the day. You could take them in at night. There are things you can do.
Okay.
But quite frankly, for most of us, it's probably just a bit too much work. You're better off just growing plants, trees and bushes that have lots of berries.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Habitat that the birds will come to naturally, you know, like winterberries, for example, or aster. I have the juncos on my aster. I didn't clean them up at the end of the summer, and the seed pods are still all out there. And I have lots of juncos and finches that are on those plants.
Oh, okay.
So you can encourage wildlife to come to your yard just by growing the right plants. But yes, the first thing we would say to you is if you're feeding animals outside, birds, cats, dogs, stop.
Okay.
What? You're just, if you stop feeding them, they'll go away, or at least they won't breed as much.
Right.
Right? That's, I think, the key. And then the other piece of it is you really have to stop them coming into your house. You have to exclude them, we call it. So you have to plug up all the gaps.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. It does take time and energy and maybe a little bit of money. But it's better than just trying to poison them, because you have to poison them forever. You know, it's a sort of a no-win game. We're never going to get rid of the rats and mice. And you don't want to. They do feed the population of wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to the point about the pets, there are dozens of cases every year in Massachusetts of mostly dogs being poisoned by rodenticides because they eat the bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's...
And it is not always reversible. The rodenticides that I'm talking about, these blood thinners, they give vitamin K. And it works, but not always 100% of the time. And then there's another one called bromethalin, which is a neurotoxin. So it affects the nerve system. There is no antidote to that. That you can buy over the counter. And, so if your dog were to get into that, it's very likely it would be fatal.
How delicate a balance our ecosystem is. It's just amazing. One of the things I noticed that I found fascinating was on the website, there's a way to invite owls to nest in your neighborhood or in your yard, and they sort of take care of the population.
Absolutely. If you can install some owl boxes, a screech owl box, for example, you will be much better off. I have a neighbor who has an alpaca farm, and he said the best thing that happened to him was he had a weasel move into his barn, and the weasel took care of all the rats and mice in the barn. Right. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that in your house, but if you had a barn, and you could encourage a little weasel to come along, could be very helpful. You want to encourage those predators. We have foxes that frequently come through our yard. I'm always happy to see the mom and her kits because I know that means they're going to keep the rodent population down dramatically.
That's fascinating stuff. All right, a couple more things. Tell me about, on the website, you have upcoming events and things like that. So what is the next step in the process of educating us about this?
Yeah, so our next meeting is in March, and I'm going to look at my calendar, but our next step actually is we're writing a warrant article for the town meeting, where we're basically going to request that the state consider banning or restricting the use of these second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides throughout the Commonwealth. And so we're going to be voting that on April 30th at town meeting in Newbury, so I encourage everyone to come to that. In March, our next meeting is March 23rd at the Newbury Library. It's at 11 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about integrated pest management. In other words, how to manage rodents around your property in your house without using rat poison.
Okay, and a lot of that information is on the website. I will link to the website as well. Nicole, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, thank you very much for your time, Rick.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's great to learn about this stuff. The more, I think the more we can do, what little we can do for our planet, we sort of have to do.
I agree.
All right. Thank you very much, Nicole. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That is Nicole Bloor, who is the co-founder of Save Newbury Wildlife. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.